Today I would like to talk to you about information that we receive in our speech. In this modern day and age, the world has become very small due to the rapid communication. Whatever happened in the one side of the world, the rest of the world knows instantly. And also speech is very important in life. Speech is like an arrow that left the bow. Once we let it go, it is very fast, very sharp, and we cannot run after the arrow and say, "I'm sorry, I don't mean it." Once a speech is unleashed, it is like an arrow. It is very effective. Depending on the words we use, it can be very sharp. So it is very important to use this speech as a tool for happiness in life. Most of the time, we need to realize that how speech describes many people. Not necessarily that they are bad people, but because of the wrong speech, they are in the wrong spot, wrong side of the fence, and then their life ruined, their career ruined. But in order to be able to understand where the speech comes from, in Buddhist perspective, we need to look at this source, where the speech comes from. In Buddhist philosophy or analysis, as to be a human being, we need to have this substantial body. Otherwise, we'll be beings without a body. So we need to have a body. And then from that, based on that body, I'm talking about this because every laughter, every tears that we have in this life is coming from this body and this mind. So it is wise to know what this body is all about. So we need to have a body. So when we say as a human being a body, then we have eyes, we have a nose, ears, hands and arms and legs and all the things that a human being has, isn't it? And based on these, what human being has, isn't it? Then the extra things that come out of this integrated body is the feelings and the perceptions and mental formations and consciousness based on this body. So what it does is when we see through this body, through the eyes, physical body, physical eyes, that's eye consciousness, sight consciousness, right? From this sight consciousness, when we see a beautiful thing, we like it. Oh, that's beautiful, that's nice, isn't it? But when we see something that is not nice and that we don't agree or don't like, we reject it, we say, "I don't like it," right? So from this sight consciousness, from the physical eye, that create this sight consciousness, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, through this consciousness coming up out of this physical existence. And when you smell something, oh, that's a nice curry smell, you feel hungry and you like it. But if you don't like curry, you say, "My goodness, what a terrible smell," isn't it? Where it come from? Again, from perceptions. And where it come from? From this perception, you have tasted it before. By what? By your tongue. That curry you have tasted, it's horrible, hot, and you don't like it. So when you have that smell, your perception says, "Yuck, I don't like that curry." Based on this tongue, that tongue that you have tasted it. But people who eat curry and likes curry, then they say, "Whoa, that's fantastic smell, you know." Who's cooking? Isn't it? Go and knock at the door, you know? So it's like that. Coming from this body, you have this feeling, perceptions, mental formations, which are thoughts, through this consciousness of the sight consciousness, hearing consciousness, isn't it? Sound consciousness, which is hearing, and then taste consciousness, isn't it? And smell consciousness, and touch. Then the body touched something, isn't it? You know, silk, you know, material, you touch it. Oh, it's so nice. I like it, isn't it? That Hessian bag that you go and touch. my goodness, that's rough, you don't like it. Through the touch, isn't it? You touch somebody, you like it, you don't like it. Same through this touch, the body. And the thinking process that we can think, isn't it? So this is what a human being is all about, isn't it? So from that, you know, where does speech originate from? From this ear, isn't it? You know, when you hear something, right? Then that's hearing. It's not the words. If I'm deaf, like I said last week, if I'm deaf, no matter what sweet words they're saying about me, what abusive words they're saying about me, I don't know anything, I'll be keep smiling, even they're abusing me, because I can't hear. That's meaningless, those words. Those words doesn't exist for me. That noise doesn't exist for me. Only through this hearing, when I am not deaf, then I can hear it. This is the source. Ear is the source. Hearing is the secondary. And then those words are there, you know, at the background. So again, feeling, when feelings come up, you know, through these things, it is through this origin of this body that we have these feeling and emotions and perceptions and mental formations coming up. Not those words, not those actions, right? Just to understand. So if we know how to read those words and actions, mannerism, facial expressions, with a calm and peaceful mind, with wisdom of understanding the law of life, law of nature, then we can manage it. But otherwise, without wisdom, it can inflame your emotions, hatred, anger, like that. So that is in a habitual state. That's how we live. So this is looking from this source. Where is the source? From hearing, from the ear source, we hear words and then go into the mind, or recognition and determination, and then you say, that is bad words, I don't like it. And then that through that consciousness, feelings come up, emotions come up, you anger arising now, isn't it? So that's how it starts. So what does anger, you know, the state of the mind that is very angry, you know, do, isn't it? Then angry words will come out, isn't it? So the source of your speech, the words coming from this mental formations, perceptions and feelings and emotions, to understand that. We just put the words out of the mouth, out of the blue, not like that, you know. You got big nose, your head too big, you know. Just words not coming out like that. It's formulated in the mind. And then perception, my goodness, that head is too big and that nose is really long, isn't it? It's coming from there. So to know that, that's why we are meditating awareness, awareness of this feeling, perception, emotions coming up. There and then, when we're used to meditation, we know that, oh, my mind is now moving. My mind is now coming up, rolling up, isn't it? That's why we are meditating, to be able to identify these things, where and when it's, you know, starts. So this is the core of the meditation, to be able to diagnose it quickly, to be able to concentrate on the issue, on our feelings, mainly on ourselves, not others. By knowing ourselves, we know others as well. Buddha said, applying internally and applying externally, what mind's going inside us, it's the same with anyone on this planet. So when we have this speech coming up now through the information that we receive, isn't it? You know, oh, someone is saying about you now, you have a big nose, isn't it? And your emotions are coming up, isn't it? That information you receive, and then you identify it as a, you know, that person is an enemy, isn't it? Mm. Or they may say some other things relating to your conduct, your business, whatever, personal life, isn't it? So, you know, these are the information we receive. And if we apply this to everyday things happening in life, everyday news and affairs that is coming to us, happening in Australia, happening in Perth, happening in America, happening in Middle East, wherever around the world, we have this information. And from this information we received, we, you know, the mind formulate, you know, conclusions, and from that, our speeches are produced, right? So when we produce a speech, oh, I heard that, you know, somebody got a big nose and I don't like that, but I haven't seen that person, or I haven't really know whether that person has a really big nose or not, you know. Maybe they have a big nose, but it doesn't necessarily mean they are ugly, isn't it? Or, you know, unlikable. You know that French actor, what is Depardieu, is it his name? Mick would know, he speaks French. He's a big man, isn't it? But, you know, most of the people like him. He's a likable person, isn't it? So like that, we don't know. Some say, oh, that person got a big head and big nose, my goodness, he must be dangerous, isn't it? Oh, I don't like it. So, and then I would say, oh, I don't like that person, isn't it? I don't like what they're doing. But actually, we are based on all these speeches coming out of us are based on this information that we receive. Even if the informations are true, you know, our perceived views change with time. One time, you may not like chili. And whenever people talk about chili, yuck, I don't like chili, it's too hot. But once you get used to it later on in life, then you might come to like chili, the taste of chili, acquired taste, isn't it? Like, you know, when we first drink beer, I'm quite sure nobody would agree that the beer tastes so nice and sweet, you know, so beautiful. But in my experience, it's quite bitter, and then everyone's saying it's great, you know. So with the peer group pressure, you say, yeah, it's great. You keep drinking, isn't it? But you don't really like it. I don't really like it when I first drink it. But later on, get used to it, acquire taste, isn't it? So this is the same. You know, even though you don't like it, sometimes your views are, you know, changed due to the information we receive, as well as the pressure of the group, of the opinions of the people generally. So it can influence us. So when we receive an information, then if the information is inferior and incomplete and incorrect, all the conclusions we have are incorrect, and the speeches we do are incorrect as well. Even if we get the correct information, 100% correct, then we realize that things are changing. Sabbe sata, you know, sabbe sankara anicca. You know, this is, nothing is a permanent, nothing is a staying constant, things are changing. If you know that, then our views and opinions are changing as well. So then we don't fix our views on what we heard, and then we don't dwell on it, and we say, yes, I don't like mango, isn't it? And someday you might have mango pudding and you might like it. Then you will change. So I find in my life, my views are always changing depending on the information I receive. So I learn not to put out words on something that I receive from the information, or, you know, knowing the law of life, you know, things are changing, nothing is permanent, you know, then due to this changing nature of things, we can't even, it's wise to stereotype people, they are good, they are bad, people change, you know. I've changed. If you see me about 30, 40, you know, over years ago, I'll be dressing like a seaman with funny trousers and shirts and long hairs and going to the nightclubs and jumping up and down. Isn't it? Drinking, right? Because so much money you earn too, isn't it? And now I don't do those things, isn't it? You change. So this is the changing nature of things, as well as wise not to put words on things. And as you see in the newspapers and this and that, some people put strong views on things that they believe, and then those issues are also changing, you know. Then because of the general opinion, you know, due to the way it works, then they are, you know, thrown out of the fence, isn't it? Thrown out. They are not in that circle anymore, or in that, you know, jobs anymore or things like that. So what we say are very important. It is wise not to, you know, put the views and opinion firmly on it, because depending on information we receive, they change. So what Buddha has instructed is that to have a speech that is truthful, refrain from speaking untruthful things, isn't it? So even if something is truthful, Buddha said, if it's not beneficial for you and for others, it doesn't bring any, you know, welfare to you and to others, it will only cause pain to you and to others, then refrain from saying that truth as well. So that's the Buddha instruction. Then what Buddha say to have the right speech? He say, speak that bring people together rather than breaking up. Speak that is truthful and nice to hear. Piya Wacha, that Buddha said. A speech nice to hear means, you know, we may tell the truth, but tell it in a way that is, you know, nice tones and with the attitude of trying to, with kindness and trying to help, then people can take it. Sometimes people say, it's not what they said, the way they said it. Same thing, that's what Buddha is saying. The way you said it must be in a way that it's soothing and comforting and, you know, sweet and nice, but truthful. That's what Buddha say. And we avoid saying, you know, malicious, you know, slanderous things, as well as gossips, is in it. So these are the things we avoid. So if we practice this right speech, even though we hear something, you know, about someone, and knowing that things are changing, and this person can change too, then we have this a mind coming up with understanding and forgiveness, understanding of life and forgiveness, and giving a chance to people, but say truthful things that will help them, then people like you too, isn't it? I've said many times, you know, Nelson Mandela, a revered person in this world, you know, so much respect by everyone, you know, including me, isn't it? When he was young, he lured all these pigs with food droppings, and then the pig followed the, you know, whatever food, and then once they got in the forest, they killed the pig and eaten, right? But look at Nelson Mandela now, a revered person. So everyone understanding life, you see, not in a negative light, but see how we can, you know, help that person, isn't it? People are doing all sort of things because their minds are not clear, not seeing yet. That's why they're doing it. So we need to see that, and we need to give people a chance. And for those people who are giving a chance, must understand this, and then respond to it by doing things in a correct way, isn't it? In a normal way. So these are the give and take in life. So when we have this, then when we start talking, through this understanding, our talks are refrained, our speeches are refrained, coming from this wisdom, you know, not, you know, throwing out whatever is in this mind, you know, good or bad. That's how we are having problems in life, wrong words, wrong time, and then, you know, you have to, you know, keep trying to undo it. It costs so much, isn't it? Not worth saying all those words, because the emotions, the anger and frustrations that, you know, say it. That's why we are meditating, to be able to see this and to be able to control it with this mind that is now strengthened. Otherwise, the words just escape and that's it, gone. You got big nose and then he wouldn't like you anymore, isn't it? So, due to the time frame, I would like to offer this to you, and before you speak, you know, think about it. And if you can't think, count about 100. Then you speak. Yeah. I offer this to you tonight. Hope you can use it in your daily life. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.